Hard first, easy later. So you've been working at a company for a couple of years. You're pretty comfortable. You're pretty confident in your role. You feel like you're excelling. You're a high performer in your mind, whether you are in reality. You like your coworkers. You like your team. You like your organization. You like the goals. You feel like you have a place. You're making an impact. And you're happy. Okay. And then somebody hires a new team member for your team, or they transfer from another team within your org or whatever the case may be, and there's some kind of immediate friction. You guys don't see eye to eye. You don't get along. Maybe you guys went and hung out and it just didn't work out. Maybe you had like team building events or happy hours or something, and you guys didn't hit it off, and there's some kind of subtle friction, something like that. And I see this a lot where it's either a new team member coming in, or it's a new, it's almost always when a new team member is coming in, but it just depends on which side you're on. Like, are you joining a team that has somebody in there that you can't handle, like they're toxic in some way or whatever the case may be, or is it the incoming person is toxic? And I say toxic in that I'm describing somebody who is creating friction outside of the work, okay? Or maybe in the way that they perform their work, they're creating friction with everybody else. That I've seen that too. So specifically, I want to talk about people who are kind of in this dilemma. I see this a lot where they think they have to, and even the people who suggest solutions for these things, when they're like, well, I can't get along with somebody on my team and I don't know what to do. Do I confront them? Do I go to HR? Do I go to my manager? Do I leave the org? Do I do this? Do I do that? And I see that. And yes, obviously, if you can't get along with them and it's just affecting your work and it's this major thing, leave the organization. Okay. There's no reason to stay there. Okay. And I say that because most orgs or good orgs are not going to let somebody like that stay there. Like if they're actually doing something that's an anti-pattern to the team, to productivity, whatever, they're going to get singled out and pulled out. Okay. That's just going to happen. So if that's not happening, then that means it's more reflecting on the org and not so much on that person. Okay. At least that's how I look at it. Like when I've ever reached a breaking point, it's more like, well, I can't believe the org is ignoring this or they're letting this happen. Then I don't want to work for a company like that, and less about that person specifically. I don't want to get down into the personal level and be focused on them personally. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think that's a good idea. The reason being is it's also the same approach that I've seen where people say, we're all a family, or a lot of orgs do this too. Like a lot of smaller orgs will be like, well, we're a little bit bigger and, but we're still kind of like a small family environment kind of thing. And I don't like that. I don't think that's a good idea. I've been at a couple of those orgs and everything can be great, but under the surface, it's just like a family. Believe it or not, if you try to treat your business environment like a family, it will end up like a family, meaning you'll have kind of like internal cliques and like secrets and, shit that people know about other people that they probably have no business knowing about them in a work environment. So just looking at it from the perspective of if they are focused around performance, skills, things like that, everything like time that is spent at work is focused on that. Culture builds around that. But when you start to kind of create what you think is a good idea, as far as this whole family environment thing, then what happens when you have to fire your family? Everybody feels kind of betrayed, then you'll end up with resentment and infighting and things like that. And it just easily can get out of control. Okay. And then you have gossiping. That's of course the norm in these environments where they think everybody's kind of a family member or whatever. Whereas if you, and some people think of this as like being cold, if you are like, oh, well, I don't think we should be all super friendly and friends. Like, I don't think we should all be friends at work, if that makes sense. I think you can be friendly and you can be fun and you can have a great time at work, but you shouldn't be friends with the people that you're working with. And you certainly shouldn't be treating them like they're family members. You're in a professional environment and you should be treating them with respect as far as what they do in their role, and the same from them. So if you approach it from that perspective, okay, if you focus on the work that they're doing and the work that you're doing, and you don't let anything else get to you, what happens is, especially if you limit the interactions from the get-go with these people to professional settings, then as time goes on, you know, maybe they're having a bad day, maybe you're having a bad day, maybe you guys don't agree on something politically or with some other thing, because right now, especially the way that, you know, the political landscape is, you don't want to bring politics into the workplace. You don't want to bring religion or any kind of like polarizing views that don't have to do with work. You know, you could be super polarizing, but be polarizing with your work views. There's no place for anything else in the work environment. It's just anti-productive. What happens though, is that when you try to keep things personal or like friendly or whatever, what you're doing is you're getting on this roller coaster ride that is emotions, okay? And so it depends on their emotions and your emotions, and nobody is going to have consistent emotions. That's not how we are as humans. So you can't base your team structure and your relationships between your different team members off of emotion, because what will happen is, if one bad thing happens, one small thing happens with friction, that has maybe nothing to do with work, then you've created, you know, kind of this friction outside of work. And now they're going to judge you based off of non-work metrics. Okay. And you will as well. And you don't want to do that. Meaning, you might have something come down the pipeline for business and they're like, hey, we want this project done, and, you know, pick a team and go do it. And then you don't pick that person, even though they are the best candidate for a specific role that you need. And the only reason you didn't pick them is because you don't like working with them, or you don't like them specifically. And it's nothing to do with their work ethic. It's nothing to do with their skill. It has everything to do with their personality or their culture or whatever. And those are things that, yes, culture matters a little bit, and how people interact with other people, it matters a little bit, but it shouldn't matter that much. And if they're already at the org and you're in a team environment with them, you need to do your best to get along with them. Okay. Which means focus on their skill set, focus on what they're good at, and try to, you know, let that sing. And if you do that, then you've kind of bypassed the idea that you need to confront them. And instead, you're actually collaborating with them. And a lot of times, like a lot of, I want to say a lot of the relationships that I've had that have kind of stood the test of time and were great friends have been people that we started out initially not liking each other. Now, these are in non-work settings mostly. One of them isn't. But for the most part, I don't really... I don't really think it's the best approach to try to just make friends with people at work. I think you should be friendly, don't get me wrong. I just think that it's hard. Maybe after years of working with somebody, I can understand that, or even a year of working with somebody. But when you're joining a new team or they're joining the team, don't try to make friends with them, especially incoming people. Don't do that. I've seen that so many times where you're on an established team, somebody new joins the team, and everybody tries to be friendly with them and be overly friendly. Like, they want to hang out, they want to go do stuff together. And then what happens though is inevitably you're going to drill down into their personality and their personal life until you find something that doesn't align with something you agree with or create some kind of friction. And you're getting that right out of the gate. So your early on impressions are going to have more weight. And so if you find negative things early on, it's going to affect things more. Versus if you have a strong working relationship that focuses around the work that you're both doing, and then after a year or whatever, you find something out about this person, or they just start treating you differently, you know, then you could probably still make it work and kind of turn that around. But or at the very least, it won't be an environment that's so toxic that you just can't handle it and you have to get out of there. But I see this where people want to just jump ship, and it's like this sensitive culture where they can't quite get along with everybody. And if everything's not perfect, then they can't handle it. You know, it's like this mentality of, you know, because this other person sees things this way or treats people this way, somehow I'm going to let that affect me. And then now I'm going to start treating other people differently and that person differently. And I mean, the reality is that to some degree, you can't really avoid this. It's going to happen. But I will say that the best times for me productivity wise have been when I was focused on the work, and when other people were focused not on the work and on non-work metrics, and they were letting that stuff bother them. You know, those times, a lot of it, they didn't even tell me about it. And a lot of times I didn't even know about it. I mean, I've worked at orgs for months before anyone even told me that somebody had friction with me. And I didn't know it. I worked with them on a daily basis, and we were productive. We finished projects. We did very well. And there was something that I did or said or something or didn't do. In some cases, like sometimes, people thought, what was it? I think I get this a lot. Maybe not so much anymore, but I think before I did, where people were like, well, I didn't think you liked us or, you know, or something like that, because you never hung out or you never went to these things or whatever, these get-togethers or whatever it was, you know, or something that you do or say or something. I mean, there's so many little tiny things that you don't realize that are conflicting with somebody else's viewpoints and their personality or whatever. And the reality is that when you let yourself focus on those things, it's so easy to find differences, okay, in them than it is in ourselves, versus if you're just focused on the work. Focus on what they're good at. And the other thing is, let's say it's too late. Let's say, you know, because the other argument would be, well, yeah, that's great if you know that going in, but what if I'm already on the team and I already am not getting along with somebody, and you know, we're not seeing eye to eye. It's kind of like a below the surface thing. Maybe it's even to the point where you guys talk behind each other's backs between the team, which is even worse, because as soon as you start talking about somebody else to another team member, you've just grown it. You've grown the problem, and now you have this gossip culture. And I say that I've seen it tons of times, and it sucks. I mean, sometimes there's no way around somebody basically complaining or whatever, but if you get into any kind of a repetitive thing where you have like the same people who are complaining about this other person when they're not around, it's just not productive. You know, you have to be careful about that. I think it's inevitable that people are going to have differing opinion and different views, but if you're focused on what their strengths are. So even if you don't agree with them, even if they don't like you, even if they're treating you like crap, it's already gotten to the point where you guys aren't getting along at the office. You don't speak to them or something like that. Maybe you say good morning, maybe they ignore you. You know, there's a bunch of different things. But let's say it's as bad as, like, I'm saying it's as bad as it can be, up to the point where you just go to HR because it's, you know, not a safe and work environment or something like that. Obviously, if anything is happening that's like crossing the line, then you go to HR or whatever. But short of that, you know, if it's just one of those things where you don't like this person. And then you get this environment where you kind of have like sides. So you create like a war when you buy into it. And then that person has the people who are their advocates. And then you have people that are your advocates. And then you end up with this thing where you're tearing the team apart and where you kind of have like an us versus them mentality. But let's say you're already at that point. Okay. You've already split the team down the middle and some people don't like other people and all this other stuff. What I would say the answer is, okay, this is not to befriend them and make them your ally and all this other crap and kumbaya. But I will say this has worked for me in the past is when we're working on things and either they do something well or you know what their strength is. Because a lot of times if you don't like somebody personality-wise, you'll probably start to focus on them more and then you start to learn more about them. So believe it or not, as much as you dislike that person, you probably know a lot about them. Just because you're focused on them clearly, you know, you clearly care about their opinion, whatever it is that they're doing, you know, even if it's in a bad way, cause you're looking for bad things, you are focused on them, which means you should know their strengths. So if you know their strengths, you need to play to their strengths. So if you know that they, maybe not even just their strengths, but their goals as well. If you have any idea of what their goals are. So if you know that they see themselves as, you know, this hard worker or this really, this really collaborative person or whatever their viewpoint is or the perception they're trying to give off, you're going to know these things if you're, you know, kind of frictioning with this person or whatever you want to call it, infighting. And so what I would say is anytime you have a chance to give them work, or projects or praise or anything that is centered around their strengths or their goals, do it. And then also collaborate with them, you know, which I'm sure that there'll be kind of a shock initially. So you probably want to layer it. So what I would maybe do is let's say you're not on speaking terms, go to like, if a manager comes to you and says, hey, I need you to go do this project, or here's a set of feature work that we want you to do. You know, do you want to do all these or, you know, do you need help on this or anything like that? If there's an area in there, I mean, don't look too hard, but look for an area in there that's going to overlap with their strengths and then suggest them and praise them in some way. Just basically be like, well, I know so-and-so is really deep on this and they probably are going to know more about this than me. So if they could even just consult a little bit, they don't have to pick up some of the work, but if they could just maybe look at it initially and make sure it all looks good, something like that kind of opens, like it kind of, it's like an olive branch and you're not like, don't do it to placate them. Okay. Cause I'll tell you right now, that does not work. Okay. Don't try to placate them. What you're doing is number one, you're helping the org. Okay. You're being more productive because you're bringing somebody in who is knowledgeable about the work and they're contributing, they're adding value in the work environment, but also you're praising them. You're giving them recognition outside of just you saying they're good at something or whatever. You're actually getting a third party, their manager or whoever it is that you're collaborating with, to go talk to them. And in some way it's going to be communicated. Oh yeah. You know, well, so-and-so just said that, you know, well, so-and-so said you were the best person for this or that you knew a lot about this. That even just that one tiny little thing, believe it or not, 99% of the time, that's going to break any of the crap that was going on. Any of that infighting, any of the friction they had before, they're probably just going to immediately be like, what? I can't believe this person, like they knew that about me, or I can't believe they see me as that, you know, and it'll completely shift what they think. And if it's early on in any kind of, you know, issues that you're having with somebody, it's probably going to squash it immediately. But if it's not, that's a first step. And then the second step is after you've kind of gone through an intermediary, if it's that bad and you can't just go to them directly and you've basically praised them to an intermediary and that intermediary has relayed that in some way and gotten them to collaborate in some way, then the next step is to actually in person collaborate with them. And I mean, that can start with maybe even PR reviews. I would, and I'm speaking from an engineering perspective, but I mean, I'm sure there's other ways that you can approach this in other fields, but I'll just give you an example specifically in, around engineering, which would be if you know that somebody is pretty deep on like AR stuff on mobile specifically, for example, and you know that their strength is around iOS, like native iOS or something, then maybe when you submit your PR, you reference a line or you just send them the PR link, but maybe you reference a file or something in your PR and say, hey, this is, you know, a native module I just wrote or something. I know you've got a lot on your plate, but if you could just take 5 minutes and take a look at this code, because I really want to make sure that you think it looks good. That is your first step. So you find something small that you know plays to their strengths. And I will say, I've seen this before, okay? So, I mean, people who aren't engineers probably won't understand this, but I have seen this before. Sometimes when somebody is, you're having friction with somebody, one of the ways you see that is in PRs, believe it or not. And I don't know if that's hard to believe or not. Maybe that isn't hard to believe, but it's a thing that I hadn't seen until, I want to say recently in the last couple of years or whatever, where people will be very nitpicky in the PRs and they'll come up with all kinds of things. So be prepared if you are having friction with somebody, and even if you're asking them, hey, can you look at this? Because I know you know a lot about this area. Can you just make sure this looks good? They're probably going to look at it. If that's not enough for them, if they're still pissed off or whatever it is, they may look at your code. So be prepared to get a huge list of changes where they're like, well, this should be this and the syntax on this is wrong and blah, blah, blah. Just shit that doesn't really, things that don't need to be changed, but they're just being overly like litigious about things. Like, you know, they're seeing every tiny little detail. Like they're just going to pick apart and destroy your PR. Be prepared for them to do that and embrace it, because that will probably break the whole thing. I think is go through line by line, every single thing that they want changed. And it doesn't mean you have to change everything, but turn every single thing into a discussion. So every suggestion they have, turn it into discussion, unless it's a black and white. If it's some kind of like a binary answer where they're like, hey, this isn't valid or this is wrong, I think you have to do this or something like that. Like if it's something where it's like, hey, I found a bug or this is breaking code or something like that, anything like that, don't make it a discussion. Just be like, oh, thanks. I'm so glad you caught that. I did not see that. If there's any gray area where it's like, hey, I think you should probably do this, turn it into a discussion. Okay. Don't cave on it. You know, maybe eventually you cave on it, but turn it into a discussion. Be like, oh, you know, I didn't even think about that. And then be like, well, what do you think about this though? You know, if you can find some kind of competing arguments or something like that for both sides, don't do like a whole debate. Don't get me wrong. You know, you're going to take up too much time, but if you can try to have some kind of a dialogue around that stuff. So, and then if they are very adamant about you doing it, still keep the discussion going, but always thank them after you make that change. Okay. Whether it's you end up with theirs or you end up with yours, just thank them for their input on each of it. Okay. And then always give them some kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to look at that in the future, or I'll keep looking at that. You know, maybe maybe that doesn't make sense for this PR to change that right now. I don't know enough about that, but I'll go ahead and look into that. Just doing that is going to kind of, break down some of those walls where they're like basically everything they're putting out negative, you're turning it around and turning it into a positive. Okay. And what's happening in their mind, okay, is if you're doing it right anyways, because if you're placating, if you're strictly placating, if it's just optics and you're just doing this surface level, then especially if your intent is just to get them to leave you alone or be nice to you or something like that, they're probably going to fuck with you more, okay? Because the reality is that when people think that they can walk all over you, they're just going to keep walking all over you. Okay. So you don't want to placate. Don't try to, you know, cave for non-work reasons, basically. Meaning don't let the other crap influence work decisions because you don't want the work to suffer. So what you should do though, is everything that they're putting out, somehow turn it into a positive, somehow thank them for their contribution and somehow try to incorporate that. If you can, if what they've offered has some value, try to get that value out of it. Okay. And stay productive. Okay. And stay around, you know, kind of pointed questions and pointed answers and concise, keep everything concise and quick. So like everything should be kind of like draw an action item out of everything if you can. Okay. So everything that they talk to you about or suggest or anything like that, pull an action item out of it, either for them or for you. And that way you're basically giving them this, this sense that you're 100% results driven. Okay. And which is the way you want to be in work anyways. But what happens is any kind of personal dispute they may have starts to fade away because it doesn't matter what they say or do. You're just going to keep focusing on the work that they're doing, the work that they're helping you do. And you're not focused on anything else. And when you do that, you're crossing that boundary that they're trying to put up. And it's, in my opinion, it's the best way to handle that. And so then when you think about it from that perspective, all these people that are like, oh, we'll just switch orgs or complain to your manager or whatever. I mean, if you complain to your manager every single time you have friction with somebody, you're going to have problems. Okay. Don't run to daddy and mommy and try to get them to solve your problem. That's ridiculous. If somebody's doing something, like if somebody's bullying you in the workplace or whatever, I get that. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I'm saying short of that. Okay. If they're just, you guys are having mutual friction or whatever, don't make it into this rivalry thing or inter-office politics thing where, you know, so-and-so doesn't put so-and-so on a project or something because they don't like them or whatever. I've seen this, especially with like people who've been there for longer. You have different departments that don't like each other, different teams that don't like each other. And that is all because of those people making those same decisions where they're thinking, okay, I need to polarize because I can't get along with this person, instead of thinking, okay, I can't get along with them personally, maybe, but how do I get along with them in the work environment? Why don't I focus on that? Okay. So maybe we don't agree on pancakes or something, but maybe we do agree that we want to be productive and we want to make this org successful. So let me figure out what this person is good at and let me help them. What that could look like, especially if it's between departments and maybe your department head and their department head or something like that, involve them in the process. So when you're working on projects that have any kind of overlap with them, be overly collaborative. Okay. Get feedback even when you don't, and constantly thank them for contributing and giving value. But I think if, and I say this as somebody who's not a department head, don't get me wrong, but I've seen it at some of these orgs, and it's just very common, I want to say, at bigger companies where you have teams that don't like each other or departments that don't like each other, and it's more about the ones that work next to each other, okay, which is interesting, right? Okay, so it's not because they don't have exposure to each other, so it's not this grass is greener or any of this other crap. It's simply because they have more interactions with those teams. So, and I don't know why that is, but because you would think you would have a stronger relationship with the teams around you versus like a, you know, like if you're in billing and somebody else is in legal, and you're in like you have sales, billing and legal, you'll probably have sales and maybe billing will be closer than legal and sales. Right. So, you know, you shouldn't have, or at least you should try to get along with those teams that are near you or the departments that are near you. And especially if you're, leadership in those departments don't get along, don't let that affect you getting along with those teams. I think that's the most important thing, is don't try to fall in line with whatever inner office politics are happening. So if you have somebody who doesn't like somebody else and you're under them or whatever, don't cave to that. You just don't focus on the personality and the culture and everything else. Focus on the work. So that way, if you have a direct report who's saying, hey, I don't know, I don't really want to use so-and-so on this, you know, and they don't give you a reason, but everybody knows the reason or whatever, then offer a work-related reason. Like, hey, you know, this person is our best engineer, or this person is our best IoT engineer or machine learning or whatever their focus is, or, you know, this person is our number one salesperson. You know, why aren't we using them? We should probably be using them. You know, like, you need to sing their praises if you, as far as the work stuff. So just keep it focused on the work and not focused on the personal. And I feel like it breaks down all those walls. Plus it scales. And I think there's been a couple studies around this where when people keep it in like a more professional environment, and more focused around the work that you're doing and not around inner office politics, you actually have better inner office relationships because they're based around, kind of mutual, mutual suffrage or whatever it's called. I think of it as like kind of the military. You know, there was, I know when I went through the military, it was very, surprising. I think when you get out of your initial training and you see, some of the guys that are in your unit, and everybody, I think kind of the turning point is always funny, is like you develop all these friendships, and then at the end of training, everybody, like, so throughout training, everybody's wearing, you know, whatever your blank, you know, uniform is. Everybody has the same shirt, the same outfit. But then when you know, finish going through your training, then you get to see all these people that you've spent all this time with wearing civilian clothes. And then it's interesting, because I mean, I remember there was guys that were, you know, super into, like death metal, and, you know, they were like gothic and, you know, just so different from me, but we were like best friends at that point, you know. But as soon as I see them wearing clothes, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so different than what I would have ever thought. but that's the same thing it is, I think, with work, is that you have to strip away, you know, the clothes that they're wearing, the personas that they're putting on, and just focus on the work that they're doing and find a way to collaborate and get along and build a relationship around that. Build it around the work and not around the culture, because that's going to just be a roller coaster. And in turn, though, you'll actually create a culture out of that where it's more focused on the work, which is going to help the org. It helps productivity, and it also helps, you know, inner team relationships and everything. So yeah, that's just my thoughts on that. I feel like I've seen that a lot, where people just want to jump ship. And it's like, they just want permission to jump ship. They're always like, oh, you know, do you think we should, or do you think I should complain about this? Do you think I should confront them? You know, do you think I should do this? Everything that they always think is a solution is like antagonistic, and it makes it worse. And every single one of them lead to the same thing. Either you're leaving or they're leaving. And that's not healthy, because the reality is that you're going to be working with people who don't have the same religion. They don't have any religion. They don't have the same, sometimes they barely even speak the same language. You know, and you have to find common ground, and the common ground needs to be where you base your relationship around. Okay. As far as the work, that is your common ground, is my skill is this, your skill is that, and together we can make a team around that. We don't need anything else. That's all we need, is your skill and my skill. And so, yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to kind of touch on and focus on. And I think everybody else should be focusing on, because, you know, in the end, when you do that, you'd be surprised at, you know, the value that you're going to get out of these people. Because when people feel comfortable, when they feel like they're not going to be betrayed or that nobody's out to get them. That's the worst feeling. It's like, you know, when they think that you're out to get them or that you're trying to punish them. And then it gets even worse if like you get promoted or they get promoted or something. You know, then the whole dynamics changes and everything. And you don't want that. You don't want it to be, you know, like a fear culture. You know, that's so unproductive. And people, you know, when they feel threatened, they'll lash out, they'll do things. So, and then it just escalates from there. It's like the eye for an eye thing. Everybody becomes blind. You know, if you do some little thing to them and then they do some little thing to you, and then it escalates back and forth and back and forth until you get to a point where the entire company is suffering because of these two idiots that don't like each other, you know? And so you don't want to get to that place at all. So anyways, hopefully that helps. And hopefully somebody who's thinking about just jumping ship because they don't get along with somebody on the surface level is going to drill down a little bit deeper and put a little effort in, because that's all I'm asking for, is put the effort in, try. Okay, put the time in and the energy in. It's not easy. The easy way is to just jump ship and leave the org. That's the easy way out. The hard way, the way you're going to build yourself into that org and put down roots with your team, is to actually start building a relationship with these people based around their skills and let those shine within the team. Because you're going to make your team stronger. When the team feels like everybody values each other and respects them for what they're good at, you're going to see a performance level that you've never seen in other teams. That's what's going to happen, is you're going to get like this synergy, harmony, whatever they call it. You know, there's tons of different phrases for that. You know, I'm sure managers have all these that they go through training where they're like team synergy, synergistic harmony. I don't know. Anyways, so I'm going to end it there, and hopefully somebody got some value out of that.